All right. This week's episode. Let's try that again. What? This week's episode is brought to you by having the leftover Halloween candy and eating it all because all those trick-or-treaters didn't come to your house. How much candy did you have left over, Kevin?
I didn't have any trick-or-treaters last night.
Oh, guy. Do you got diabetes?
I got diabetes.
Trivia?
It's at 8, but we usually get there a little early and have some beers and chill, so.
Oh, yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Even if this episode takes an hour, which I doubt it will, you'll still make it.
I was going to say, but every time we say it's not going to be long, it's going to be long as
especially
fuck.
Especially with the amount of points we have to
touch. Yeah.
So let's just hop right into it. Hello.
Yeah,
welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of countryhodgepodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
What is up, everyone?
Kevin dressed as blackface yesterday for Halloween, so shun him from the internet. Shun him!
That was very problematic. I deserve to be reprimanded.
No. My costume yesterday was wearing a Roquan Smith jersey and sweatpants because I had to work 12 hours yesterday and I did not want to fucking have to be in a costume the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I wanted to be comfy.
Yeah, I was out at a client, so I wasn't going to dress up anyway, but if I was going to be in my office and people were dressing up, yeah, I would have either done nothing or just like, all right, this is an excuse to wear jeans and then something.
And a flannel.
Well, that's what I usually do is I wear jeans, wear the flannel. I bring my cowboy hat. I don't actually wear it. I just like put it down on my desk. But yeah, see, costume.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I was going to wear my cowboy hat and then a flannel and jeans and my boots and shit. But I was like, no, I'm going to be super comfy. So instead I went jersey and sweatpants.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. I would have been all about it. Oh yeah.
Yeah. 50 hours, 4 days, not fun. But today was only an 8-hour day, so the 42 hours in the three previous days was amazing.
Whee!
But yeah, so this week we're going to talk about Turnpike Troubadours canceling a bunch of shows, that Real Country show, and how some of the contestants that have joined are already singers. I don't know. Kevin went to a Tyler Childers concert last week.
Yeah, man.
And we're going to quickly talk about this fucking stupid ass article that Billboard put about how Kane Brown is the future of country music.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about Colter Wall and his best songs, which is all of them.
Everything he's ever done.
Yeah. So we're going to do a top 26 or how many songs he has out. But yeah, so first off, the Turnpike Troubadours canceled shows pretty much through the end of November, I think it was.
I'm pretty sure it's through the end of November.
Yeah, which sucks because one of those includes the House of Blues concert in mid-November, which I was really wanting to go to, but now even if – I hadn't bought tickets yet, but even if I was going to buy tickets, well, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But obviously we don't want to spread gossip and shit, but some people are just assuming it's Evan Felker doing Evan Felker things, but who actually knows?
Yeah, and I have no idea. I would not have the ability to get any sort of inside knowledge because we are not important and don't get that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate. I obviously hope for the best for them and, you know, whatever they're going through. Obviously if it's, you know, the options are, you know, pushing through and then having some sort of really bad thing happen or shutting it down now and then getting better. Like obviously shutting it down, get better, be ready to go as soon as they're through this and they're just ready to go again. Like that's obviously the most important part, and just them, their health, the, you know, all that shit. So,
well, cause
it's unfortunate, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. The previous shows, I'm pretty sure they said it was canceled because he had like kidney stones or something.
Yeah. Cause he did have that.
Yeah. And his first show back was actually Medicine Stone, which was awesome. Cause we were there.
Yep.
But yeah. So hopefully they go through speedy, whatever recovery or whatever they have to go through to get back on the road.
Yeah, wish them the best.
So, yeah, I was looking. I saw Brie Bagwell posted on her Instagram, like, I'm a contestant on Real Country. I'm like, isn't this like a American Idol, like a nobody, like people join? But then I saw an article saying that each judge picks their team, and they each have like 8 or 9 artists or something that are on their team. And so it's not even like an audition show. It's just they picked artists that are on their team now, and they're going to see, I guess, who's the best of those.
Interesting.
30-something,
I mean,
or 20-something.
On one hand, I kind of like that idea because it makes it, you know, because the thing that I've always thought was annoying about The Voice and American Idol and all that shit is like people thinking that their best chance to success is just like random audition on music show and then try to make it that way. So having it not be that is kind of nice.
Yeah, and what's even worse about those shows too is that you don't always, like, whoever the judges are, Luke Bryan and the other two, Katy Perry and Lionel Richie or whatever. You don't audition in front of them. You audition in front of like executive producers, and they say if you're good enough to even make it to the judges.
Yeah, and then they probably try to make it. Yeah, they try to like find storylines to advance and all that shit. So I mean, on one hand, I kind of like, you know, with the singers that are going to be in it. Like Tony Jackson's great. I think he's really, really, really talented. So if he was to win it, I'd be like, that's awesome that he's getting more exposure. But I mean, I don't watch fucking TV that much anyway, so I wasn't gonna watch it. Probably still I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not totally sure what the deal is gonna be, but it's interesting for sure.
Yeah, because Travis Tritt's characters team is Brie Bagwell's included, Tony Jackson, and then Porter Union, who's a group. So it's not it's just like already country people. There's not just nobody's trying to make it. So I don't know what the show's about, but it's 1.5 country artists are listening to people sing, and because, you know, Travis Tritt, half of Jake Owen, and then Shania Twain's not a country artist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know, that's kind of cool that that's what they're doing, but it's, I still don't plan on watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought, because I thought it was like a Voice or American Idol or X Factor or America's Got Talent, whatever, where it was auditioning. So I was like, why the fuck did Brie Bagwell audition to be on the show? She already has a, you know, a somewhat successful career going.
Yeah.
I don't know why the fuck this is happening. But if it's something like that where, it's just all these actual already kind of set artists doing it, that's kind of cool. But I'm still not going to watch.
I'm not going to watch it, but it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
But it is cool. Like, they've had, you know, I've seen sponsored posts and shit where it's like Jake Owen, like, oh, we're just trying to get the most authentic people out. It's like, dude, you're not even authentic. Did you listen to your most recent single? It's not good. But the fact that the contestants are getting do seem to be actual country artists, then, all right, I'm okay with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But Jake Owen can pretend he's super country all he fucking wants. Yeah, so last week you went to see Tyler Schiller.
Yeah, so as everyone would probably imagine, he is tremendous live. He sounds exactly like he would, you know, like
he does. A soul.
Exactly. He's a ginge. How dare he? But he sounds exactly like he does on the record live, which is awesome. And his stage banter is fucking hilarious.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, it's so great. So he sang a Shel Silverstein song called I Was Stoned and I Missed It, which is basically just like a country version of And Then I Got High.
Yeah.
And he prefaced it as, this is a song about whacking off. It was so funny, and he had a. I wish I could. I should have fucking like wrote some stuff down that he said, so I could, you know, relay them. But basically, I would say between him and Cole Wetzel are like my favorite guys that have ever done like stage banter and intros into songs. It was hilarious. He played like an hour, a good hour and a half, maybe a little longer set. So it was a good length set. It was really good. The funny thing too was, he said, like, as he was approaching the end, he's like, you know, if I didn't play a song that you wanted to hear, it's all right. I don't mind. So I was like, this guy's fucking great. It was really good. The venue was really annoying, though, because there was like 1,000 people. There wasn't 1,000 people. There was in Iowa City. There was not that many people there. It was sold out and packed, but all of the fucking people constantly were taking videos to everything. And I was like, chill the fuck out. And there was all the people who would leave the flash on. It was just like, the crowd was annoying as fuck, but he was tremendous, so I didn't really mind it because of how good he was.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with those small kind of the smaller bars that sell out with artists. Those are the ones I like just standing in the back because I don't even want to deal with people at a venue that small. Even if you're in the back, you're closer than you'll ever be at an amphitheater concert.
Exactly, we were like towards the back, and then people just kept filtering to the back to like get drinks and shit, and just kept opening up space. And we would just step up slowly. Then before we knew it, like we were, you know, a quarter of the total distance away from the stage by the end of it, just because we just took a step every time that there was an opening. So, yeah. I mean, it was fine. The crowd was annoying, but the whole thing was good. So, he's tremendous. Definitely see him live whenever you can.
Nah, I'm good.
You would.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those on the list. If it wasn't the end of the month and if it wasn't sold out, I definitely would have gone because I had to work that day, so there's no way I was
going to concert anyway. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. All right. So this is probably where we spend the most time on before we get into Colter Wall. I hate this Billboard article so goddamn much. So if you haven't seen it, there's a Billboard article out that I don't know some chick wrote because she very smugly like shared some tweet of saying like Kane Brown sucks, like, oh, all these people just don't, you know, understand Kane Brown and blah, blah, like that bullshit of every fucking pop country artist has the same argument of just like, it's changing, it's different, it's doing its own thing, and it's just like, it doesn't mean it's good, doesn't mean it's country. But
yeah, I hate the people that dismiss. Because, like, I understand how annoying it can be to constantly have people be like, well, that's not country, that's not country, that's not country. Like, I get it. I don't want to be that guy that's constantly just like, oh, no, but that's not country. But at the same time, you can't dismiss the argument saying that it doesn't have any merit. Like, saying factually that Kane Brown's music is not country does not actually say anything about the quality of the music. Nor does it say anything about him and his race, because that's the other thing that she fucking said, like I'm sure you were going to bring up.
So I'm just going to read, I'm just going to read this fucking quote, because the whole thing was dumb. It was all just like, he's dressed in his open flannel shirt and his diamond-studded earrings and whatever, like, just describing him, like, guess what, he's black, like, we get it, I don't care. But so there's this two paragraphs that I read, and that just was over the line of how stupid it was. It says, but the CMA Awards shafted Brown this year. He wasn't even nominated. It certainly felt political. And then he says, there's a contingency that looks at certain acts and says, that ain't country, and I think it happened with Kane, says Randy Goodman, chairman and CEO of Brown's label, Sony Music Nashville. Well, before I continue, because it's not country, and so that is what happened to Kane because it's not country.
Yeah, but and like to complain that like, oh yeah, they're like, this isn't country, so we can't have it. Yeah, those are the same people that fucking have Florida Georgia Line winning all sorts of shit. So that's also a nonsense argument.
Yeah. So continue on. Kane is African American and he has tattoos. Maybe that's not culturally what they think fits.
Yeah, because no one else in country music has tattoos nowadays.
No, there are no tattoos. Keith Urban, no tattoos on his neck. Just a straight-up dude.
Fucking Jason Aldean won, like, back-to-back Entertainer of the Year, and
no
other
tattoos.
Than the fact that I
Those are henna.
All of his music during that stretch, no tattoos on him.
Brantley Gilbert doesn't have two giant guns in the Second Amendment tattooed on his back.
Definitely not a full sleeve on his left arm.
Not at all. No, fucking tribal tattoo, man. That ain't a tribal tattoo.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, tribal man. He got that name for his tribal heritage.
For having... Wait, I was going to say smushed face, but that's a different guy. They're all the same. And then he continues on with a quote from Jimmy Allen. We've been systematically programmed to let stereotypes lead the way, says Brown's tour mate Jimmy Allen, who, as a black country artist, has encountered plenty of them himself. Because the stereotypical country guy is supposed to be from Georgia and is supposed to be white. What?
The only thing that I would say to give him credit for that line about stereotypical country dudes, I do have to say so many of the modern country, quote, country dudes are just fucking white dudes with backwards hats wearing white t-shirts. That part is true.
It's very true,
But that's not saying this is the only thing that's allowed. Fucking Darius Rucker shit all over Wagon Wheel, and everybody loved it.
Yeah.
So, and what the fuck?
And not, and it's, and I hate this, the argument of, like, do you know Charlie Pride? Because that's the, it's like that whole, like, I have a black friend type argument. It's like, yes, we know Charlie Pride existed, and Charlie Pride faced actual racism.
See,
he played in
the
literal Negro League Baseball League. He, and they wouldn't show his face for the first however many, I did a report on him in college. They didn't show his face for the first however many years of his career because they were afraid that if people knew he was black, they wouldn't listen to him. That is not a thing anymore.
See, and that's the thing. The reason bringing up the Charlie Pride thing is a valid argument, though, is exactly for that reason. If you're going to talk about racism in country music, you have to talk about people that have had that happen to them before, where it actually happened, like in Charlie Pride's case. Coming out in 2018, where in the pop realm, the pop and rap realm, every single fucking super popular megastar is all of color in some way.
Yeah.
To say today in 2018 that racism is holding people back, yeah, there's racists out there. I'm sure there are racist country fans out there.
Sure,
I guarantee they are.
I am sure there have been concerts that Jimmy Allen have been in when he was a nobody just opening for God knows who, where someone's like, oh my God, that Negro's on the stage. I'm sure there have been those dumb fucks, but that is not what's holding you back from winning AMAs, CMAs,
or they're not a controlling interest in the world today.
And the thing, wasn't it you that sent me a screenshot of, like, some Kane Brown thing where it's just like, well, maybe I'll get nominated next year. He is just a little bitch who wants to be nominated for shit, and
he's
gonna
doing
throw
the Justin
every
Lynch.
Card he can. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing it. It's so fucking stupid that he's such a whiny little bitch. He wants his award that he's just like, well, it's probably racism.
Well,
it's
that's
like,
the
no,
thing.
It's
I feel
not.
Like it's this is like a perfect move. If you're like Kane Brown's publicist and all your goal is to get his name out there and get him more action, this is a perfect move. You'd be like, yo, you say it's racism and then everyone's going to jump.
They'll give you the diversity.
Everyone's going to look at it and then that in today's climate of saying something's racist and you don't need proof, perfect. People are going to take it and fucking run with it.
It's just like the, I don't know if you saw this because it was on a nerd website that I read, how Disney is pushing Black Panther for Oscars, but they're not even bothering with Infinity War, even though Infinity War is the far superior movie. It's just like, it just goes to show that it's like they're just trying to win the diversity award. Like, if you don't vote for this, you're racist. And that's the whole thing Kane Brown is doing right now is, if you don't vote for me, you're probably racist. Like, no, we're not. We just don't want to vote for shitty music. Granted, shitty music is winning awards in Nashville, so that's not really an excuse. But
yes.
But the reason why I was saying that the Charlie Pride thing is kind of the I have a black friend argument is because there are people today that are better African-American, black, whatever, country artists than him. There's Charlie Crockett, who's a mix of every goddamn race. There's
I don't even know what he is. He's something.
Yeah, I was reading about him, and he's like white, Latin, Jewish, and black. Like, he's everything. It's crazy. But, like, Cajun
and he's
and
tremendous.
Shit. Yeah. So you got Charlie Crockett, you got Rhiannon Giddens, who has
pipes.
Yeah. Then you have like Mickey Guyton. You have Tony Jackson, who we were talking about earlier. You have Aaron Vance. There are these amazing country artists out there. Like, and I said in our post, I was like, if anyone can use the race card, it's them, because they're not only are they not selling out arenas like you are, or amphitheaters, or whatever the fuck Kane Brown is selling out. He's selling that shit out. These guys are playing little honky tonks because no one wants to hear them because it's real country music. They're the ones who can say, like, we're not being played because of race, even though I guarantee they wouldn't say that. Because
that's the other part about this whole argument about, like, oh, he didn't win these, you know, awards. It's like, well, who gives a fuck about these awards? This dude's going around the country selling out like fucking crazy. It's obvious that there's a huge chunk of people who don't give a fuck about his race because he's selling out like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Granted, I think they're all stupid pop fans. Okay, not all of them. I'm sure there's people that listen to him that have good taste, and they like just actually have a lapse of judgment or some shit like that. I don't fucking know. But he's selling out like crazy. He's got fucking multiple millions of streams on all of his songs. Like, people are out there and they are listening. So to say that people are not caring about him because of race is just a completely nonsensical argument.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the people who say, like, oh, no, I like real, because they'll be like, I like Kane Brown, but I also like Tim McGraw. And it's just like, you're not proving your point. The fact that you because in the article they had a thing where he said he was just like, someone came up to me and said, I'm glad you're bringing 90s country back. It's like,
what?
Like, I'm sorry. One, he's not, because that's not what 90s country sounded like. And two, I hate to say it to you people, 90s country wasn't that good. A lot of what was popular in the 90s is crappy 90s pop sounding music. Like,
you
90s country.
Shut your face.
90s country really wasn't that good. How dare you? Like, don't get me wrong, obviously there are hits. Like, George Strait was probably putting out masterpieces in the 90s. Because, Run came out, what, 2001? Like, so that's a late, that's an early 2000s. So that's the kind of music he's putting out.
I wouldn't say that 90s country is bad. I would just say that, like all eras of time, there were things that were popular that were not, quote, country. And so there were a lot, I mean, there were a lot of people who were making good country music in the 90s. Oh, yeah. Fucking Travis Tritt is one of them.
But I'm saying, like, 90s, what the 90s country people think of, they always say Shania. Shania isn't a country artist. They also think, like, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. That's not a good song.
Like, yeah, but I still think that, like, Alan Jackson, George Strait, Garth Brooks, Travis Tritt, Daryl Singletary, like, there's so many artists of the 90s that were making great music. So I think the idea of 90s country is legit. Yeah. I just think that there's always going to be shitheads all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I always just think of people, I guess it's mostly that, like, fucking Whiskey Riff shirt where it's just, like, Shania. Like, the shirt just says, like, Shania. It's like, don't use that as your 90s reference. Like, yeah, like, Daryl Singletary, use him as your reference. Use Alan Jack, because I'm sure Chattahoochee probably, what, came out in the 90s, maybe? I don't know. Like, songs like that, sure, think of those things, but this whole thing, bullshit. But the other thing I was thinking, I thought of this quote, so I looked up the article again, because it goes, with his new album, Experiment, Brown is about to become inescapable, arguably changing the future of country forever. A diehard country fan, they're not going to a Drake concert, says Brown, but those Drake fans, they're coming to him, and they're waiting outside the AMA's red carpet screaming his name. So, exactly, that's the thing. It's not country music, and it's the people who listen to pop music are going to come listen to your pop music.
Exactly.
That's the fucking thing people are saying.
He's making our point for us.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so stupid. And then, of course, they have. I always love how hypocritical the people who defend pop country are, because they'll say, no, country is changing. You have to accept it changes. And then you get lines like this where, for the record, Experiment uses about every instrument in the lexicon of twang: dobro, banjo, mandolin, slide and steel guitar, fiddle, ganjo. You're literally pointing out the fact that he's being country because he's using country instruments. If you're saying country is evolving and doesn't need that to be country, then stand by that point. Don't say, no, it's country because it has these instruments too.
Nope.
You're beating your own argument with that, and it's so fucking annoying. Don't get me wrong, when this album comes out, I'll probably listen to it briefly through each song just to see. Who knows? He might have a hit on it. I don't know.
I'll listen to it because I listened to Walker Hayes' Boom, so I will listen.
Thank you for taking that bullet for me.
I will listen to all of them once to prove to myself that they are not country and they are shitty, because I can't blindly hate something because that is dumb. I will listen to it, and then I'll say, this ain't it, Chief, to be meme-worthy of 2018. That ain't it.
Experiment may be as much Justin Timberlake as it is Alan Jackson, but no more so than the work of Dustin Lynch or Thomas Rhett, two other people we
fuck
say are in country.
Both.
People who are perfectly content with white singers, oh god, I didn't even realize it said that, with white singers, like Chris Stapleton digging into soul influences, attack Brown for tarnishing it of tradition.
I am triggered.
This is like, honestly, one of the stupidest fucking articles I've ever read. The only thing I agree with him on this is how there's a song that Kane Brown put out about the Parkland shooting and, like, touching on that. That is a political thing which some people don't have the balls to do, so I, you know, pat on the back for having the balls to talk about something so topical, but that doesn't make you a country artist.
Well, then that's the other thing, because the whole thing, in my whole argument and everything I ever say, I will never take away from him that he has an ability to sing, and he sings quite well. He just doesn't make country music. And I don't understand why this has to be such a difficult conversation. It's like the fucking NFL catch rule. We know what a catch is. Stop stop fucking this up. If he catches the ball, he caught the ball. Like, I don't understand why this is getting so ridiculous. Yeah. It shouldn't, like, I shouldn't have to be even making this argument.
It's like we've said before how people, it's almost an insult to some people to say it's not country. It's not an insult if I say your music's not country. It's just me stating a fact that you are, in fact, another genre.
Exactly.
Why it's, do you have, it's this 2018 yes. thing of I'm a woman, not a man type bullshit, where it's just like, I can identify as country music, and if you don't like that, you're a bigot.
Like, yeah, like on the TV right now, they just show, they've got Kiss on the TV before the football game. They are not a country band.
Good polka band.
No one is going to say that Kiss is a country band, and it's not insulting to them who, and their music to say that. I don't, yeah. Like, what the fuck? Granted, a lot of times when I say something's not country, I will also then follow it up with, and it's garbage. That yeah. is my opinion.
Yeah.
The fact that it's not country
it's
is
fact
not
an followed
opinion.
By an opinion. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the country part isn't the opinion.
Yeah, it's not two separate opinions. It's a fact followed by an opinion.
Exactly.
Like, I'm like I understand the whole evolution. I get it. Country has evolved over time, but it didn't evolve genres. It just evolved how it was kind of made. Like
yeah.
how it went from kind of gospely rhinestone music or whatever to kind of more grungy outlaw rockish type. It didn't change genres
and,
in
and
that
the subject
way.
Matter that could be discussed. Back in the day, it was very clean cut.
It was
and
very
then as
Christian.
It, exactly. Yeah. And then as it has evolved, there's been different subject matter that's been broached. That's the part that evolves. I don't understand why, like, why can't we just be like, the fucking thing walks like a duck and quacks like a duck. It's a fucking duck. Like, why is this so difficult?
It's like, yeah, and it's like the whole, I get it, country has always kind of taken from other genres. They kind of influence each other and all that shit. You can argue that all fucking day, which is fine.
But there's
but
a difference between influence and just being it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like we, I can't remember who it was who said it, like, as long as there's a faint banjo in the background, suddenly it's a country song. Everything, you could take fucking Drake's biggest hit, and if you put a banjo playing in the background, suddenly, oh, it's a country song. It's like, no, it's not.
Exactly.
That's not how it works. And just Kane Brown is not a fucking country artist. And the other argument that I think it was Whiskey Riff made years ago when they were still like a nobody website, they had like a Kane Brown's country. Can't you, don't you see him singing this George Strait song? It's like fucking James Hetfield took the stage after Waylon died to sing Mama's, or was it? Don't you think this outlaw bit done got out of hand? He was singing that on stage with his band. That doesn't mean he's a country artist all of a sudden.
No, that's a country song.
Granted, Mama Said is a more country song than anything Kane Brown's ever fucking
put
true, out.
Oh, true, and great song. I haven't listened to that in a while. I'm going to fucking re-listen to that.
it's one of my favorite Metallica songs, but obviously because we're country fans. But it's just, I fucking hate this whole argument. And this, and of course, it's just, because the second you play that fucking race card, the second anyone says no, it's suddenly, ha-ha, fell into my trap, you're a racist.
Like, exactly.
It's all it is. Because the second you say you're a racist, the argument is over. It is over. You cannot come back from that because the argument switches from arguing your points to arguing why you're not a racist.
Yeah.
The argument is over and you suddenly go, oh, no, I'm not a racist because here's why I'm not a racist. And that they have won the argument in that sense because you can no longer disagree because you're a racist.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about a Canadian, Kevin.
Yes. Oh, right. Canada.
Oh, that's what the episode should have been. That's what the episode should have been. Has been sponsored by Canada. this is a guy we've planned on talking about for a while. And then after a while, we're like, let's wait till his new album comes out because we knew it was coming out soon.
Yep.
So we're like, fuck it. Let's wait for album number 3 to come out before we drop into Coulter Wall because this dude. I still remember the first time hearing his music. I think it was Transcendent Railroad. I can't remember what the song is entirely.
Rambling Railroad Blues. Transcendent Rambling Railroad Blues.
The first time I heard that song, I was like, God damn, this guy's good. What, has he been singing since the 70s? Nope, he hasn't even been alive since the 70s.
Yep, he is very young. It does not make a lot of sense how he creates the sound that he does, but it is remarkable.
Yeah, if this is your first episode, because you like Colter Wall, you probably obviously know this. If you're listening and you haven't heard Colter Wall before, well, you probably heard him if you listened to last week's episode, which is a great episode, and you should go listen to it. But, Colter Wall is only 23 years young. He is a Canadian with the deepest fucking voice. He sounds like he's been smoking 3 packs a day for 65 years. Like,
yeah,
his voice sounds like.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, but he's so fucking talented. We met him before his show when he was playing. I think it was a sold out show, wasn't it? That one?
Yep, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw him at Raccoon Motel in Davenport, and we met him before the show. Very nice guy, but even his voice isn't as deep as his singing voice, but he still has a very deep voice. Like, oh, hey, guys.
And he's like a little guy, too. Like, if he was 6 foot seven, if he was 6 foot seven and like thick, I'd be like, all right, this voice makes more sense. But to see like the little guy go up there,
he's seriously 120 soaking wet. There's no way he's a pound over 120. Like,
oh, yeah.
That dude is fucking scrawny. Like, the picture we took of him. We both look, I always look like a whale, but we both look like fucking whales.
Yeah, it was unfortunate for the old ego on that one.
Yeah, just because, you're thinner than me, but you look like a big fucking fat ass in that photo. And then I just looked like, look, that guy fucking caught a Snorlax.
But, why did they take a picture next to a giant tarp? Oh, wait.
So we've seen him live twice now because we saw him twice this year. Was the first one probably, early March or something like that? Saw him because obviously I was still living out there. And then we saw him at the Tailgates and Tall Boys or whatever.
Tailgates and Tall Boys.
Which, that was still awesome being there because obviously everyone was there for Cody Jinks and Whitey and maybe a little bit of Ward. But no one was really there for Colter Wall, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, everyone was so confused.
And he steps on stage and everyone's like, what the fuck, this voice coming from this dude? And that guy in front of us is just like, man, how old do you think that guy is? And you're just like, he's 23. I know for a fact he's 23.
Would you like me to say how old I think he is or how old he actually is?
Yeah. I think he's 23, but in reality, he is 23.
Also, true story, 23.
But so he's fucking amazing. The first time it was an acoustic show, Local Honeys opened for him, and they were also amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But, they opened for him, and we were standing 10 feet from him watching him on stage. And then we got to see him at full band at Peoria, which was also amazing. But it's such a tough one to choose which one you like because the full band, it adds to the songs. But hearing him just alone on an acoustic guitar is also such an awesome fucking sound.
Yeah, it's more of, to me, the fact that so much of the sound that's even in the full band is still just him and his guitar. That's the part that I think is amazing. And that's why I feel like I kind of would just rather stick with the acoustic shows just because of the fact that he still gets 90% of the sound of every song with just him and the guitar. And it's just so impressive.
Yeah. It was like when I saw Sturgill Simpson for $10 at Ripco, he did the acoustic show, and he's one of those guys, both of them were those guys who, you get kind of used to the country artists who are just, strum the G chord, don't really play while the band is playing the music for you. But both of those guys can shred on the guitar, and it sounds like two guitars playing when they're playing. Like, they're so good at it that it's just amazing to watch. And if it was like Kenny Chesney acoustic, he'd be sitting there, strumming chords. And it'd be like,
oh. Exactly.
That's why it's always funny when people are like, oh, you're a good guitarist. I'm like, I'm really not. I strum chords. Like, I can't pick like them. Like, that is good guitar.
When they're finger picking and they pluck all the strings to make the chord, and then they're hitting all the individual notes and they hit the chord again. It's like, I don't have any idea how to do that.
When you see an actual guitarist, you realize how bad of a guitarist I am. But
you suck.
That's pretty much. That's why I work at a bank, not on stage. Let's hop right into that.
Let's
top
do
10,
it.
Why don't we? First off is number 10, Johnny Boy's Bones.
Oh, my skidding cannon have torn his gray coat. Don't he look fine?
just love this song because it's very kind of like that mountain
sounding
song.
It sounds like a around the campfire kind of folk song.
I love it for that, and it's I actually hadn't really heard of that much before today. Like, I had listened to his first album a lot, you know, kind of back in the day, but I didn't know it that well. Like, I just kind of listened to, like, Sleeping on the Blacktop and songs like that, the ones that I knew. So when I went through them all today, I was just like, I texted you, I think I even tweeted it, where I was just like, I'm just adding Colter Wall songs to the playlist as I go. I've added every single one.
And exactly.
That's how I felt doing it, because, yeah, obviously that CD, because I listened to them in order as they came out, too. So first song is Sleeping on the Blacktop, so I was into it, I'm like, oh, I know this song. And the next one comes out, it's Johnny Boy's Bones. I'm just like, damn it. This one's awesome. I don't know what to do. But yeah, I fucking love this song. I don't remember what it's about. It's about bringing someone's bones back to Kentucky or something.
Yeah,
like
I think it's the friend dies or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember it too well. I just like I mostly picked it because of the sound of it. I really like the instrumental of it.
It is a tremendous sound.
Yeah. Number 9, You Look to Yours.
She said, I know just what you're wishing. Two folks in our condition. We'd never leave this barroom with our pride. So go about your earthly mission. Don't trust no politicians. And I won't look to mine.
I loved the opening to this when we saw him at Raccoon Motel. It's like pretty much the song's about, you're too drunk, stop standing so close to me.
I loved it. Because, I mean, I liked it before, obviously, but then when he gave it that intro, then I listened to it after he had given the intro about, like, being, you know, you're drunk at a bar hitting on a girl, and then she's just, like, essentially, like, politely telling you to fuck off. I'm like, okay, this is tremendous. And just the line about, you know, telling a drunk dude who's hitting on you to go about his earthly mission is just, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. It's got a great sound. I just dig it for sure.
Yeah. It's good. I was going to add something, but then I forgot because I'm tired. Number 8, Thinking on a Woman.
Sweetly taking his time, drinking all the straight right, chasing it with red wine, heavy on his troubled mind, sweetly taking his time, trying to make it all right, thinking on a woman, thinking on a woman.
Yeah, speaking of sound, this one off his new record, I feel like was kind of my favorite sound of any of the songs on the album. Obviously, the whole album's got the, you know, the Western, you know, Canadian Western Plains kind of Wammon deal. but I just really love the sound on this one. And I mean, I'm pretty sure it's just about, you know, him, a dude thinking about a lady and, you know, thinking on a woman. But I really love, I thought this was like kind of like my favorite sound from the latest record. So that's why I've definitely wanted to include it.
Yeah, it is. It's not my favorite from the album. We'll get to the favorite from the album in a little bit, but
same.
Well, yeah. Cause this one, I remember when I first listened to this album, I think I even said on the podcast like 2 weeks ago or whatever, when it came out, this album, I think, is my favorite because I went through and every single song, I was just like, this song's good. This song's great. This one's amazing. Like, I just loved it from start to finish. There was never a time when I was just like, I probably won't listen to that one that much more. But, like, this one, it was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I just love throughout the album, it's just, like, so consistent and well done.
Yeah. Number 7, Motorcycle.
Well, I figure I'll buy me a motorcycle, wrap a pretty little frame around a telephone pole, ride her off a mountain like old Arlo. figure, I'll buy me a motorcycle. Well, I figure I'll walk to the liquor store. Thunderbird, two bottles, maybe three, maybe four. Follow my feet down the music road. Pour it on the pavement like you would a tombstone. Like you would a tombstone. Like you would a tombstone. Pour it on the pavement like you would a tombstone.
I love this one because it's kind of like, it's his only really kind of upbeat, goofy sounding one, but just the way he sings it, where it's just like, I think I'll buy me a motorcycle and I'll wrap its frame around a telephone pole.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's like very like sarcastic and it just, yeah, I it's funny. Yeah.
Then the line of, well, I figure I'll walk to the liquor store, Thunderbird, two bottles, maybe three, maybe four. Like, yep. Because he's really not, I don't mean for this to be like a diss sounding thing, but he's very dry when it comes to like his humor. Like Cody Jinks, Whitey Morgan, and Ward Davis, when they're all on stage together, they're all kind of very active and they're very friendly with each other. But Colder Wall just kind of gets on stage, he's like, this one's my song, I'm gonna sing it, and then he just kind of gets off stage. Like, yep. So his stage presence, not that he needs stage presence, I don't mean to make it sound like a diss, but like, he's very dry. So when he has like a song that's kind of this goofy song come out, it's very different, and I like it coming from him. But it's the same with like, I know we said it way back when we did the Sam Outlaw episode, how he's the same way. Like his songs are very somber sounding, but then he has songs like She's Playing Hard to Get Rid Of, like songs like that, where they're very sarcastic, but they're sang in such a sincere way that you wouldn't really pick it up unless you really listen to the lyrics.
Yep.
So that's why I really like this. Every time he sings this one live, I'm like, yes, motorcycle. Number six, Fraulein.
Fraulein, Fraulein, look up towards the heavens each night as the stars start to shine. By the same stars above you, I swear that I love you. You are my pretty Fraulein.
Yeah, I love the, I mean, it's a simple
Nazi
love
song, you Nazi.
Exactly, I love Nazi songs.
Yeah, because that's why you hate Kate Brown, you Nazi.
It's all coming out, no!
You and your blackface costume on Halloween, and you're a Nazi.
Shit, now people are going to actually believe that I did that.
Yeah. He dressed as an Asian.
No, Fraulein. It's a, you know, like a simple love story. It talks about how there's like a
between Coulter and Tyler.
Yeah, old German dude who had a daughter and he loved her, and so obviously Fraulein is the German word for like lady or woman or something like that. And so it's beautiful, but then like you just mentioned, the other part that makes it one of my favorites is because Tyler Childers also sings on it, and anytime you can get the two of these guys together, that's fucking awesome.
If there's ever a lineup of these two playing together, I will be driving as far as I need to go to the concert.
Yep.
I don't have anything to add to it. It's just amazing the fact that two amazing country artists are on the song together, and can never go wrong with that shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I have to say about that. Woman. number five, Caroline.
Oh, how sweet when we meet on the golden streets of the great white valley. These old chains around my feet, they're pulling me back down. Caroline, oh Caroline, I'll be home just any old time. The grave in the garden will be satisfied till your name's next to mine.
Yeah, this one's great. It's a sad song because he's basically talking about his lady is dead, and the place in the graveyard. You know, she won't be satisfied and really laid to rest until he is also dead next to her. And so he's singing about how, you know, she's up in heaven and waiting for me, and you know, one of these days I'll join her and we'll be happy together again. And so it's sad, but it's got this like upbeat nature to it that's kind of nice, and it's just it's a really nice song.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's written by Jamie Johnson, and it goes, "Take me back to Canada."
Go back to Canada.
Yeah. Number four, Wild Hogs, starring Tim Allen and John Travolta.
Well, you ever seen Wild Hogs?
No, Wild Dogs.
Wild Dogs.
We'd go running through the forest with the grace of an eagle, with the freedom of the wind and the strength of our youth. Just like our old friendly Indian, we'd only kill to feed ourselves, protect those we love from danger. We were wild dogs, wild dogs. We were wild dogs.
Wild dogs. This one was the first one when listening to his new album that kind of just stopped me and was just like, holy shit, the sound of this one is so fucking awesome. That's why this one is the one I was talking earlier. That's my favorite from this album.
Yeah, this one is also my favorite from the album.
And it has that cool instrumental outro. It's like a minute long. I love Tim Allen and John Travolta. They're just really good in this movie. Wait, no, hold on. That's not what we're talking about. I don't even know how to describe it. I love, it's just the instrumental of this and how it is sang is
it's probably, haunting, our favorite word.
Yeah, it's probably my third favorite kind of instrumental behind two that we'll be getting to. Just, that's the one other underappreciated thing is his lyricism is really good, but the instrumentals in his album and his songs are so fucking good because obviously he's very traditional and you can't argue that, Kane Brown. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. The way that he talks, you know, because I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be all metaphor for him and in a relationship.
For John Travolta, right?
Exactly. It's all about them. But yeah, it's well written and just beautiful sounding. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got to say for that. Number three, Sleeping on the Blacktop.
I hear ladies spitting at the Nick of Jack's. Businessman with a needle and a spoon. Coyote chewing on a cigarette. Pack of young boys going howling at the moon. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Letting my sense catches up with me.
This one's about Kevin Hodge in college.
Yep. Next. Yeah, no, this one is great. This one's one of those that, like you said, you know, sonically is just such a great sounding song. It just sounds so cool, so well done,
it's
so
very
different.
God's gonna cut you down type sounding.
Yeah, it's very different, but it's great. Yeah, it, you know, obviously one of my favorite songs that he's done. So yeah,
yeah, this is definitely my second favorite instrumental, which we'll get to number one or my number one favorite soon. But yeah, it's just such a. I remember this song always though. It reminds me of that Bike and Brew that we did a couple months ago because this was one of the songs that we played while doing it, and it makes me love it. And I was actually thinking today when listening to the song that. Well, I can't wait for it to be spring again because then we can do Bike and Brew again because I want to do that again because that was super fucking fun. But yeah, so that's number three. Number two, 13 Silver Dollars.
Let me open your click in the handcuffs binding grip. You should have left me in the snow where I lay. He just laughed and touched his gun and turned to me. He said, son, I bet you don't own a damn thing, do you, mate? Well, I got my help, John B. Stetson. Got a bottle full of baby's bluebird wine. And I left my stash somewhere down in Preston, along with 13 silver dollars in my mind.
This one's great because it's, again, that sarcastic kind of dry humor thing. Because I just love it. You know, it's about he wakes up hungover in the snow, and then a cop is like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's just like, says like he'd sang him Blue Yodel Number 9 and the guy didn't catch the reference. And just and then just like the guy says, you don't own a damn thing to your name. He's like, oh yeah, well I got my health and my hat and 13 silver dollars and my mind. And it's just, it's great. I love it.
It's this was the first one that really hooked me onto Coulterwall. Like, it's such a shameful thing to admit, but it's true. Like, the first time I heard him, I was like, his voice is phenomenal, but it's just not a sound I want to listen to a lot. But then I kept listening to Coulterwall, his music, and I was just like, I fucking love this shit. But this was the one that, even though I didn't listen to all his music, this one hooked me, and I always loved it because just the 13 silver dollars in my mind, it's just so catchy the way it, like, is sang, and I just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love this song. Number one, WB's Talking.
Well, here on the Old Soul Radio Show, a little number by the name of Imaginary, Appalachia. I tell you, I've been doing this radio thing for a while now, and the response I received from you all is something that I had never received before.
Gotta love the talking.
That broadcast right
it's just aired. A radio guy talking for a few minutes about Coulterwall and how great he is. No, number one is Kate McKinnon.
So I went to court and Kate McKinnon. Got me a job and I quit my rambling. And every day I'd say a quarter of my pay. I could buy a diamond ring. Lord, and one day I come home to find my darling angel's not inside. I made for the creek where she and I didn't meet. I found her with some other lover. Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, this is, if you listened to last week's episode, one of my all-time favorite murder ballads, and then also just one of favorite songs. It's just got a tremendous sound, and then obviously with me being a huge fan of murder ballads, it's just like it hits all the marks for a fucking great song, and I just absolutely love it. When he does the, I put three rounds in a Kate McKinnon, and then bam, right back into it. It's build, just so great.
Yeah, this is by far, it's literally giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, the build into the I put three rounds in Kate McKinnon is so fucking amazing. This is by far the best instrumental song he has. It's also my favorite written one just about... Like, isn't the first verse, like, they're questioning about the murder, and it's like,
well,
he
talks about seeing a raven and, you know, the omen for death, and, like, he's in prison, and then he just goes into talking about what, you know, what happened, the whole story.
Yeah, and it's so cool because even though, obviously, you know that's why he's in jail, it talks about, like, oh, I've quit my rambling ways, I got a job to support this girl, but then I came home, she wasn't there, went down to the creek, and there she was with another guy, and then it just, but he sings each even line of the verse so slowly, where it's just like, she wasn't home, kind of builds. He's like, she was at the creek, build, with another lover. And then it's like a 30-second build-up, and then it just goes, I put three rounds in Kate McKinnon, and then it drops again. It's just like, holy fucking shit, this song is... Like, it's... It would... If this was... 30 years ago, this would be a number one hit for months. This is a country classic.
Yeah. It's fucking good.
Yeah, this is a fucking amazing, fucking amazing, fucking amazing, fucking song. It's so good. So yeah, that's our top 10 for Cultural. If this guy fucks. This guy fucks. Oh god, I forgot about that. So great. But yeah, so that's it for Cultural. If you have songs that you are thinking you guys are fucking stupid for not including this, why don't you include this, you stupid fucking fucks? Well, then let us know.
And it's all Steve's fault.
Exactly. Wait, what? But anyway, so last week, this last week was probably the best release weekend of the year. Off the top of my head, obviously there have been great weekends before because we've talked about them each week, but this one is just.
Yeah, I thought this week's release was. I thought it was the best that I can remember in a while, just because of how many full length albums that I absolutely love start to finish. I was like, okay, this is nuts.
Yeah. So first off is Jamie Lynn Wilson's "Jumping Over Rocks." So obviously, you know, on this podcast that we are huge fans of Jamie Lynn Wilson, and we've even thankfully gotten to meet her and interview her, and she's amazing. So I don't want to think there's bias there, because we've been obsessed with her ever way before she even knew we existed.
Oh yeah.
And so we've been, well, I guess we haven't really been waiting for this album because I've had it for a few months, but
also true.
We were very happy that this finally came out, because now I can stream it on Spotify and not have to put a CD in my car that doesn't have a CD player. So it's amazing. Oh, when I turn on my car, you know how it always goes to like the one song it always goes to? Now it's the Being Gone. So
nice.
So it used to be fucking Country Boy Song by Earl Tibbles Jr., but now it's the Being Gone by Jamie Lynn Wilson, so it's a lot better to turn on my car if I don't have something loaded up already.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so Jamie Lynn Wilson, definitely check out that album. It's really good, super traditional. She's very attractive. Next is Whitey Morgan and the 78s, Hard Times and White Lines. Oh, that's about cocaine, isn't it? And streets.
It's about cocaine, streets.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no, I'm a huge Whitey fan. If you've ever listened before, you know that. So obviously I was going to love it, and I did. But I also think that it has a lot of songs on there that even if you're not as much a fan of his, like, really hard honky-tonkin' rockin' stuff, he's got some of those slowed-down songs that I think are just absolutely tremendous. The one song, I Get Tired of the Rain, which he wrote with Travis Meadows, I think is just fucking beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah. I don't know why that's just made me think of, the song Little White Lines by Highway 55. Have you ever heard that song?
Yep.
Fucking love that song. Oh, actually, I think we talked about doing an episode about drug addiction, so that's definitely going to be on that episode, but,
the cocaine pod.
The cocaine. We like to do cocaine.
Snort.
but yeah, so... Whitey Morgan, Hard Times, White Lines. Obviously, very traditional, very attractive.
Very true.
Next is Dylan Carmichael's Hell on an Angel, which I know I listened to it all the way through, but you listened to it a bunch. So
yeah, this might be my favorite of the year so far. Yeah, I listened to it in its entirety like 3 times at least, like that first day, and then I've listened to it a bunch since then. I absolutely love it. He had singles come out ahead of time that I'd already heard, but the rest of the album is just as strong, and it's just, for a debut album, it's so, so good. It sounds like a guy who's been doing this for years. I love it. He's got a great sound, great songwriting. I think it's just impeccable start to finish.
The song that, I forgot to really quickly before I continue with Dylan Carmichael, the song, Around Here from Whitey Morgan, is that the one they sang at Peoria? Cause it sounds, the champagne glasses and all. Yeah.
Yep.
That one, I fucking love that song.
Yep.
But yeah, Dylan Carmichael, he had the, what song was it that he released a while ago that I love?
Well, he released It's Simple. He released the Dancing My Heart Away, and he released
Dancing Away with My Heart. That's my, I think my favorite from that album.
Yeah, and then he also I'm gonna get it so that I can get it so that it's gotten Dancing with My Heart, Hell on an Angel, and It's Simple were all released early.
Yeah. So good. Oh, that's the one he didn't have on the album, but it's so good. The old songs like that. Oh shit.
You motherfucker.
But yeah, old songs like that. I fucking loved that one, even though it's not on the album, but hey, it's on Spotify, so listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, next up is Cart. He's very good, very traditional, very attractive.
Very attractive.
blah, blah, blah. Next up is Carson McHone's Carousel. She's super. I've liked her music for a long time. The one thing I don't like about this album is, well, one, the song Drugs is bad because the chorus is just, I need drugs, I need drugs, I need drugs. But,
deep.
The song Dram Shop Gal, I've loved that song for a couple of years now, and she re-released it on this album, but she added this weird fucking instrumental to it, and I just think it ruins the song. Thankfully, the old version is still on Spotify, so you can listen to that one. Yeah, hopefully they don't Luke Combs it. But yeah, the old version is so much better, but this album is still really, really fucking good. Like, I love the song Maybe They're Just Really Good Friends, where it's just being in denial about your ex being with someone new. It's like, maybe they're just really good friends. It's, yeah, so she's really, really fucking good and really attractive. Next up is, Josh Turner's I Serve a Savior. It's not a traditional list. It's just kind of a Christmas album, but of Christian songs. It's just him singing old Christian hymns, but he has the perfect voice for gospel music. Like,
yeah, I didn't. Josh Turner's voice.
Yeah, I listened to it all the way through. I was kind of skipping them after a while because I've heard Amazing Grace enough times. I don't really need to hear it again. But
did he cover Salve Our Pals?
If he didn't, then what's the... Actually, I think he does have a Christmas album. It probably does. No, he does sing Silver Bells, because I think it's on my Christmas playlist.
Of course he does. Because everyone does!
But the one thing he does have on it is he has live versions of Long Black Train and Me and God, which are both amazing fucking songs. But yeah, it's a good album, but I don't really listen to Christian music, so it's whatever. But he's really good, really attractive. Next is Chad Cook Band, Risk It All. These guys are real good.
Yeah, I really like this one. This was the last of the ones that I listened to all the way through and a bunch of times. I fucking loved it. There was a couple songs that stuck out to me that were just like unbelievable, like No Man's Land, I thought was unbelievable. And then Grow, I that like fucking teared up at the end where he's singing about like, asking his dad for advice about how he can raise a son who's like a good person. And he's just like, you've got everything that you need and you just, give it, time and effort and it'll watch it. You'll watch him grow. I'm like, God, what a song.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember which. I think it might be that one. That was the one that really got me. But yeah, they're really, really fucking good. And then, yeah, they're also very attractive.
Very attractive.
Next is Frankie Davies, Wherever I Go. She's British, but it's such a good fucking album. She's so good. And I love when it's like a British person or an Australian person or whatever who sings the more traditional country music than people that are actually American.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's really fucking good and really fucking attractive. Next is Bo Weevils and Charlie Daniels, Songs in the Key of E. It's Charlie Daniels, so it's Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
There is one song that I think is absolutely terrible from it, though. It's the first song on the album called Geechee Geechee Ya Ya Blues.
Oh, boy. Yeah, didn't listen. Didn't realize that this many albums came out.
Yeah. But, yeah, the only one I definitely suggest that you haven't listened to is Frankie Davies. That one's really fucking good.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, so that's it. Try it out. That's it for last week's releases. You can check out all the new releases every week on Friday's new music playlist that gets tweeted out by us. Check them out. Try it out.
Try it out.
Piss on me, beat me. Again, if you haven't listened to your mom's house podcast.
Yeah, with no context, everyone's like, what the fuck?
Just listen to your mom's house podcast. Did you listen along with Whitney Cummings?
I'm not all the way through it yet, but
yes. Oh, so good. So good. Fuck you. It's 25.
20. Fuck you and fuck you.
25.
Pieces of shit.
Pieces of shit.
All right. Let's keep it wrap it up. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, what else have you been listening to, Kevin?
No, I've just been listening to Dylan Carmichael, Whitey Morgan, Jamie Lynn, and Chad Cook. Like that, those ones have been rotated pretty heavily.
Yeah, pretty much the same for me. You can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge. On Spotify, you can find the Hodgepodge Cast Picks, where every week after the episode goes live, I put up all the music we talk about, and you can listen to it all, unless it's not on Spotify, which is sometimes the case. Fuck you, Spotify. You can also find Kevin's Picks of the Week. Fuck you, Peach, you fucking cunt. Kevin's Picks of the Week on a link through the website, or if you search the username Donkey Factory.
The greatest name.
It's one word. We also tweet it out every Monday, in this case Wednesday, because I worked a lot, as I said, so I forgot.
How dare you.
And I barely looked at my phone while at work. Then every Friday, as I said, we tweet out Friday's new music, the best albums of the week, and there's usually at least three, so check out new music every Friday. You can buy one of our dumb shirts on a link through the site, or if you go to TeePublic, search Country Hodgepodge, you'll find them. As you saw on our Instagram, if you follow us on Instagram, Aaron repping our God Bless American Aquarium shirt.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorites I've designed, so if you are a fan of... I was actually thinking I wanted to design one. It just says, I only need two things, BJ and AA.
That's pretty good.
So I might make a shirt that says that, and I still need to make the fuck Nashville one. But you can find me on Instagram at @CHB_Clifftron. I post pictures of my dog and my penis. You can find Kevin's Twitter and Instagram. He posts pictures of his penis. And you can please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Some people have rated us 5 stars. One person who's a sore loser rated us 3.
Motherfucker.
We appreciate everyone who listens. The fact that we're closing in on a lot of plays, which I will disclose at another time when we reach it, is amazing. So thank you to everyone who listens. But that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to go even one step higher than Coulter Wall by talking about Sam Hunt. So until next week, I am Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.